Mark chapter 14. The message today is the ears of the body of our Lord. I'll read several scriptures, but this one, because as God gives us parts of our bodies, each one symbolizes some particular thing. For instance, it speaks about the work of men's hands. And so if God wants to speak of works, he mentions hands. The heavens are the work of thy hands, your fingers. And then it says their feet are swift to shed blood. The walk, the behavior of man is in the feet of man. And so we'll see something about the ears of the body of our Lord. Mark chapter 14, and I'll read just this verse to introduce it. 36, our Savior is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Remove this cup from me. Howbeit, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Notice, there is the will of God, and there is the will of man. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews 10 and 5, since all the Old Testament animal sacrifices could not take away sin, it says in verse 5, wherefore when he, the Lord Jesus, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. This was not God's will, but a body didst thou prepare for me. Think now of the bodies of animals that were offered. And Christ, when he comes into the world, says, a body didst thou prepare for me. Verse 6, in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hadst no pleasure. Again, not God's will, no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I am come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, the which are offered according to the law. Then hath he said, lo, I am come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Please notice the word in verse 5, a body didst thou prepare me. And again, verse 9, I am come to do thy will. Now, I will show you the Psalm 40, turn to Psalm 40, from which this quotation is taken, and it's so remarkable, for which I will seek to give no explanation, that the very words of Psalm 40 are interpreted for us in Hebrews. And the remarkable thing is even the Septuagint apparently interpreted what it literally says in the Masoretic text. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew, and the Masoretic text is that text that the learned Jews watched over and preserved all the years. So look in Psalm 40 at verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou hast no delight in. Mine ears hast thou opened. The remarkable thing is that these words, mine ears hast thou opened, are interpreted for us in Hebrews 10, a body didst thou prepare for me. But please notice, if there are ears, there must be a body. So the ears are the body of our Lord. Look then at verse 6, mine ears hast thou opened. And the word is literally did. I will explain that to you in the will of God as we go along. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I am come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And the word heart is here, in the middle of my body, in the midst of my body. You say, well, there is one reference. Yes. Now, look at Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backward. Again, the ears of the body of our Lord. And then, Exodus 21, because here is a figure, whereas the two scriptures I read to you in Psalm 40 and Isaiah 50 are not figures, but they are prophetical scriptures of the coming Messiah. But in Exodus 21, we have a figure of our Savior. 21, verse 2. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he be married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master give him a wife, and she bear him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges or unto God, and shall bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for everything that thou dost tell us about thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We are glad that in giving us that magnificent verse, for God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten Son, then thou dost tell us throughout the entire Word of God all that is contained in that word, Son. And we are thankful that this one who was your only begotten Son whom you gave, that he who was with God and was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you for that. We desire to learn something about this one whom you gave, who came and lived among men, who became a man among men. So by thy Spirit, teach us, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Most people are limited in their worship of the Father because they have never dissected the body of the Son. What does that mean? It means that all of these sacrifices that we read about in Leviticus, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin, the trespass offering, will take the burnt offering. When the offering was brought, the man who brought it slew the animal, but then he skinned the animal, and then it was his responsibility to cut that animal into its pieces. That being so, it was not the animal that was just brought, and then the priest did everything. But he brought the animal, he slew the animal, he skinned the animal, and then he dissected the animal. And he would have to look at the legs, he would have to look at the breast, he would have to look at the head, he would have to look at the intestines, because after they had been removed, they were washed with water. And he had to do all of that, and having done all of those things, the priest, and the priest alone could do this, he took the parts of the animal and placed those parts on the altar of burnt offering. But before he did it, the worshiper that brought it had to dissect that animal and understand that he was not just bringing an animal and having it put on the altar of burnt offering, but God said, I want the head put on the burnt offering, the altar. I want the legs. I want the intestines. I want the fat. God was determined that every part of that animal would be thought about and handled before it was taken over by the priest and placed on the altar. And this is the suggestion I give to you. If you say, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus, yes. That is our Savior as a whole. But God says, when you talk about Jesus loving you and giving himself for you, then here is Jesus that gives himself, and therefore you have to show me that in the offerings in the book of Leviticus. And therefore, when we bring the Lord Jesus, our Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us, and we start dissecting the Lord Jesus, we do not say, Father, here is Jesus, but we say, Father, here is the head of Jesus. Here are the legs of Jesus. Here are the inward parts of Jesus. And each one has a distinct meaning. And that is why when it says in Hebrews chapter 10 that God prepared a body for Christ, that brings to our attention the putting together that body in parts as the worshiper brought that body and cut the parts off from it and offered them individually to God. And so the body that the Father prepared for the Son, and this is why I read Mark chapter 14, the body that the Son had prepared for him by the Father, the Lord Jesus knew perfectly why God had prepared him that body. Now look at your body. Look at it. Do you know why God gave you that body? Do you have any idea why he gave it to you? You say, it's my own so that I can do as I please. That's not the reason that God gave you a body. It wasn't the reason he gave Adam a body. Do you not think it strange that the Creator would make a creature and just leave him to himself and have no reason for making him that body? That body was to be lived to the glory of the God who made it. What is the first and great commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. So here is a man with all of his faculties. And so it's not just love God with your body, but God says that body has strength. Yes, that's the physical aspect. Your heart, that's reality. you see, your heart and soul and mind and strength. What God loves to do is, having told us something as a whole, he says, now think that thing through. And here, in the case of the Lord Jesus, a body didst thou prepare for me. I read you those three scriptures pertaining to the body of Christ. One part of that body that is brought into prominence no less than three times, and I could give you more scriptures, and I shall give you more, but no less than three times are the ears of the body of Christ brought to our attention. If God wanted to, he could dwell upon the feet of our Savior. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring salvation. The Lord Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This is what God does. He says, this is my Son. Now consider his feet. Consider his hands. Consider his heart. Consider his mind. And today he says, consider his ears. The most important thing is this, that not one part of Christ's body did he understand what it was for, but he understood completely what the whole of his body was for. He, when he came into the world, looked at the Jewish religious system that was in existence then, that was ordained of God until the coming of the Son. But looking at that system, as valuable as it was in a temporary manner, he understood it was never God's will for it to permanently be the religion of man. God never eternally expected man to have a priest like Aaron and to offer one animal after another, and never have sins taken away. The Lord Jesus said, you do not, Father, want those sins just covered, taken care of year by year. That is not your will. He said, but your will is to have the body of someone else to come and take away sins forever. And he said, that body is mine. And so when Christ came into the world, he said, a body didst thou prepare me. Understand the comprehension of Christ. He was a Jew. He started going to Jerusalem when he was 12 years of age. You'll find that in Luke chapter 2. And when he went, he could see the offering of those sacrifices, the bodies of those animals. And while those animal bodies were being offered, the Lord Jesus understood in his heart, a body hast thou prepared for me. And Father, in the coming day, you want my body offered instead of the bodies of those beasts that have been offered since the time of Moses. Now, that is the thing that Christ grasped, but it's something that we've never grasped. Why do you think God gave you a body? You say, why? To enjoy life with. Independent of God? You say, well, I suppose he should have a little place in it, indeed. I would think that God should have the whole place in it. Now, God is not selfish. Even when he made our first parents, he prepared them a garden, and he said, everything is for you. But I'm coming down in the cool of the evening, and I want to walk with you, and I want to fellowship with you. And so he does not selfishly say that you can never enjoy life with your body, but he simply wants you to enjoy life in that body in fellowship with himself. And what Christ understood about that body, having seen what the will of God was, the will of God was done. That's the difference. If I ask you, whose is your body? If you are a Christian, you have only one answer. You have to say it's the Lord's, and I'm going to show you that again and again. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Jews had one thought about man's body, the Greeks had other thoughts about man's body. And this is what the Greeks said. They said, meat's for the belly, and the belly for meat. That's what they thought about the body. My stomach is just to eat, and meats are for my stomach to eat. And Paul said, God is going to destroy both the meat and that belly of yours. And they also wanted to say this, fornication for the body, and the body for fornication. But Paul said, no. He said, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Now do you understand what your body is for? It is for the Lord. We have two things that men think the body is for. Eating, meats for the belly, and fornication, the lust of the flesh. They say, that's what the body is for. The Apostle Paul said, you're wrong. Your body is not for fornication. Your body is for the Lord. God gives men wives and wives husbands, and you may enjoy life that way. But it is not for fornication. God says, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That men think that the body is just for sensual pleasures. They've never understood why God gave them a body. But the Lord Jesus perfectly knew. If the Son of God said, my body is not my own, but it is yours, Father, you prepared a body for me that I may offer that body back to you, then how much more you and I, sons of Adam, who have to be born again to become sons of God. But I tell you that you have only one answer if I ask you, why did God give you your body? This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 6. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. You say, I was bought with a price. Well, if you were bought with a price, whose are you? You say, why, the one who bought me. And the Son bought you. So whose body is yours? You say, why, it belongs to the Lord Jesus. Why are we not to become servants of men? Because you are bought with a price, and you are God's servant. That is why. And you know this verse perhaps as well as I do. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You say, there it is again. It says that my body is not my own. I was bought with a price, and I'm to glorify God with my body. And Romans 12 says, present your body a living sacrifice. The Lord Jesus said, my body is to be given to you as a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. He understood that. And you are to look at your body and say, my body is to be a living sacrifice to bring glory to God. You are not your own, but you act as if you were your own. And the sad thing is this. When men think they are their own, God shows them suddenly that they are not their own. You find in Daniel chapter 5, this Belshazzar that was having the feast, he said, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou wast not glorified. He thought he was independent of God. He did not understand that his breath was in the hand of God, and your breath is too. And when God, who gave that breath in the first place, takes it back, that is the end of you. And then you stand before God and answer to what you've done in life with that body that he prepared for you. The Lord Jesus knew what he was to do with that body that the Father prepared for him. He said, I am to give it back to you, my Father. And that is the beauty of the Son of God, and that is the sorrow of the body of the sons of men. We use our bodies if they were our own, and Christ used his body as he knew it was his Father's, and he glorified God in that body. Now, what is so beautiful about one part of the body of Christ was his ear. So think, first of all, when he speaks in Psalm 40 concerning his ears, he says, "Mine ears hast thou opened." Now, this is a remarkable word, because it is the word that is used of a man that goes and digs a grave in which to bury a body, a man who goes and digs a well that he may have water. So you think of surfaces that are closed, but then the man actively opens those closed portions, and then water is there, then that portion is there in which to bury a body. Now, that is what your ear is like, and my ear is like in the flesh. You are not going to naturally turn your ear toward God. You will never turn your ear to God, and you will never listen to God unless the Spirit of God draws you. But when he does, God is working on that ear. He's trying to get to that faculty, that sense of yours, the sense of hearing, because the faculties that God has given us are in our five senses. Like this, I know that I'm feeling a piece of wood. I know with my hands. I see with my eyes. When you sing, I perceive with my ears. It says the palate, the tongue, is able to perceive whether something is good or bad. God has given you all of these senses. And the ear is that with which we perceive what instructions are given us by another and what another wants us to do. As when God speaks, and a man will say, "Here am I. Here is thy servant." Why? Because God is called, and the ear has hearkened. The Lord Jesus' ear is pictured to us in Psalm chapter 40 as an ear that is perfectly open. There is absolutely no debris, nothing in that ear that makes him unable to detect the voice of his Father and what the Father wants him to do. Here is hard ground in you and me. And that ground is dug, and finally, there is a well. Water is discovered. The Lord Jesus pictures it this way, but the Lord Jesus was an ear that was a dug ear. "Mine ears hast thou opened," like one digs a well. And therefore, when the Father spoke, there was perception, immediate perception at the slightest whisper of God, as when the Father said to Elijah in a still, small voice. God likes to speak that way. But if God sent an earthquake in your life, some of your ears are so stopped up, you would never hear God. But the Lord Jesus said, "My ears have never been that way. My ears are so sensitive, they are like a well that is digged, and therefore the voice of God can immediately communicate to me, and my inward part can perceive, and knowing what God wants to be done, I do it, and best of all, I delight to do thy will." What happens to you and me is this. We have ears, and God makes known his will to us, as he did to Jonah. God spoke to the ear of Jonah, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach the message that I shall tell thee to preach to it." Jonah heard. He knew what God wanted him to do. But having heard what God wanted him to do, he got on a ship to Tarshish to disobey what God wanted him to do. He knew what God's will was, but he detested God's will. Finally, he did God's will under duress, but he still detested God's will. The Lord Jesus said, "My ear is open. It is like a digged well. I hear what you are telling me, my Father, and I delight to do thy will." That is the glory of Christ, and that is why the Father likes to tell us about the ear of the body that he had prepared for his Son, the Lord Jesus. Because it was an ear that was open, that was digged, that was constantly perceptive to the voice of God. And having heard what the will of God was, the Lord Jesus delighted to do what the will of God was, and he always did it. This is what he could say. He said, I do always those things that are pleasing to my Father. A remarkable statement. How many of you could say, I occasionally do what is pleasing to my Father? Which of us could say with Christ, I do always those things? That is what God expects of us, to do always those things that are pleasing to him, as his Son did always those things that were pleasing to him. So think of that now. In Psalm 40, the Lord Jesus, speaking about his ear being opened, he says, thy law is within my heart. It is in the center of me. And let me just show you this so quickly. You have the Ark of the Covenant. This is the inward parts of the Lord Jesus. And in that Ark of the Covenant, inside of it, was the law of God. And that is a picture of the law of God in the heart, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it is there, and I know what you want me to do, and I always do what you want me to do. No matter how much pain, no matter how much suffering and alienation that it's going to cost, I do always those things. And that is why I read to you in Mark chapter 14, Father, all things are possible with thee. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Showing that Christ was fully aware of what was involved in doing the will of God, and even though he did not want to be alienated from his Father, he did not want to be made sin. You can understand that. That is why he said, Father, remove the cup. But still he delighted to do God's will, telling us that it wasn't that Christ went there feeling no pain, no suffering, no anguish, but God made him to be sin for us. And that's why the Lord Jesus, with that ear that he heard the voice of the Father, he obeyed the voice of the Father. Now, in Isaiah chapter 50, this is what is so beautiful. The Lord Jesus, in telling about his Father, it says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. So the Father gave him a tongue. But he says, he wakeneth morning by morning mine ear to hear as those that are learned. And this is what is so beautiful. You and I usually think that Christ being God manifest in the flesh, that he knew everything. But the Lord Jesus said, yes, as God, I know that. But I want you to understand that I am God manifest in the flesh. And every morning, my Father wakened me. He wakened my ear. He opened mine ear. And the beauty about the word opening the ear here, it is a picture of a door that is shut, and that door has to be opened. And the Lord Jesus said, God hath opened mine ear. And so there was nothing between the voice of the Father and the perception of the Lord Jesus about the will of the Father. And each morning, the Father would wake his Son. And the word wake means to stir. And what is so remarkable is this. The true humanity of Christ, the same waking that I told you about in past weeks, Christ was asleep in the ship, and the disciples came and waked him. They stirred him to wakefulness. And then they shouted to him. Each morning, the Father wakened the Lord Jesus. And think of this one morning in your life, being wakened by the voice of God. And you wake up thinking not about what you are going to do and what will please you, but the Father wakens your ear. And he says, this is what I want you to do for me this day. There is a soul that is in need. I have a word to give you to speak in season to a man that is weary. And every morning, in every day of the life of Christ, the Father wakened his ear. And he said, Son, today I want you to speak to this man. I want you to go and speak to this woman. I want you to help mankind. And the Lord Jesus said, Yes, Father, you opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. And then it mentions the rest of the parts of Christ's body. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hairs. And so that part of the body of Christ, his ear, that made known to him the will of God, he always obeyed the will of God. Why did you give me a body? Why, to do your will with my God. And I was not disobedient to the voice that you spoke in my ear. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that at least in the world that you made and the creatures that you put there, there was one whose ear was given completely to thee. The ear of your Son, the ear that would do whatever you wanted him to do, my God. If it involved suffering, if it involved being made sin, if it involved privation, if it involved weariness and hunger, whatever you spoke in the ear of your Son, he obeyed. Our Father, we pray that we shall understand about our bodies as thy Son did, that we are not our own, we are bought with a price, and therefore, let us not give back to thee what is ours, but let us give to thee what is thine. We have called upon the name of the Lord, and we've been saved with the precious blood of Christ, and therefore let us give unto thee our bodies, living sacrifices. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen.